Well, hello everybody out there in music video land, and welcome to our weekly Thursday night broadcast. Today is Thursday, September 19th, 2013. My name is Adam Farrell, one of the co-founders of IMVDB, the Internet Music Video Database. And with me we have, as always, Mr. Douglas Klinger in Pompano Beach, Florida, also one of the co-founders of IMDB. Doug, how are you?
Super good, Adam. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. And then also joining us this week, we have Mr. Adam Alexander of Fringe Music Fix. Adam, how you doing?
I'm good.
You officially make this podcast cross international because you're in Canada.
That I do.
And Adam Fairholm, you make it funky because you are funky. So that's, how about that?
I'm in funky Durham, Durham, North Carolina.
That's what they call it.
We need some sort of, I don't know, since we're only three people and two of us are named Adam, I thought we could just call Adam Alexander Adam, and then you guys could call me ASAP Fairholm.
That's awesome.
I think we should call you ASAP, ASAP Fairholm. I'm down with that.
Is there like a, this is what I was wondering today, because I didn't, can somebody, Doug or Adam, do you guys know what the deal is behind calling people ASAP? I am completely not plugged into that.
It means they're within the ASAP mob. They're in. Yeah. They're a member of the ASAP mob, which is a crew of rappers. They're not called soldiers like No Limit, but ASAP is. It's just like it's who they all use that prefix.
It's like a camp. They all work together.
Right. It's a collaborative thing, and they just did it. They extended it beyond just rapping together. They also picked a name theme, so that's what it means. That's what it is.
That's very creative.
It's super creative. And who? Which one's your favorite? ASAP Fairholm. Which one's your favorite member of the ASAP mob?
Let's see how many ASAPs I can name. There's ASAP Rocky, of course.
Mm-hmm.
ASAP Schrader, is that one?
I don't know. That's not what I know of.
ASAP Dennis? I don't know. That's the only one.
Sneezy. Okay. Ferg. Ferg, you know ASAP Ferg, right?
Oh, yeah,
right?
Okay. ASAP Ferg, yeah.
And then you know DMX? No, wait, he's not in it. Or at all. So this we haven't talked about any music videos yet, so.
It's banter's three, okay. Banter's okay. We got it. We have three time. Minutes in.
But it's a good week for music videos, though, I'm saying. What I'm saying.
Yes, it was a little bit of a more low-key week, I think, in terms of, like, the big-name artists. But in terms of, like, quality, it was way, way up there.
I would say that Daft Punk and Justin Bieber and MGMT are pretty big artists.
Yeah, but the Daft Punk, maybe we should start with that. So, okay. at the MTV VMAs, Lose Yourself to Dance, the 30-second promo was released. And then on Monday, September 16th, the full-length promo was released. And, interestingly enough, it has like eight directors listed on it. And we know this because we were given the credits directly from everything so
directly from one of the directors. Yeah,
one of the directors. Yeah, it's the secret.
All their other videos were essentially credited as Daft Media, I believe. They didn't like individually credit anybody at any level. You know what I mean? It was just like made by. It wasn't directors weren't credited. Editors, directors of photography, none of that stuff were credited for this video. But we've got a pretty full credit list in addition to the five directors. That are listed as directors of the video. We have some other crew members as well. So I'm recommending you go check them out because you rarely get to see this information with Daft Punk videos.
And one of the things I say is that we had already seen the sort of concept, and Lose Yourself to Dance. It's a long song. It's 4 minutes and 11 seconds. And it is, although it's a really fantastic song, this is a really fantastic video. The visuals and the music, are repeat themselves, and it's a dance song, so it should. And I missed the part where, where it goes, it says, Farrell says, sweat, sweat, sweat.
And you missed it.
I missed the three shots. They took that out of this version.
Oh yeah, that is true. And it's interesting though, this despite having a version out, you know, this video still, you know, racked up 3 million views in the week. So you know, it's everything that Daft Punk does, especially for this video, has been like very interesting. There's always been a lot of calculation behind it, but I'm glad that they put out a full length version of this video and didn't just leave it at the 1 minute long one. I'm always in favor of having the full song in the video. So congrats.
And the guy, and just to drop a little knowledge on people, if you're wondering who the guy is with the dreadlocks, his name is Nile Rodgers. And he's of the band Chic. Remember Chic?
Yeah, Chic. Chic with Nile Rodgers. I think we should start, as we move on to talk about some of the other videos this week, I think we should go in the direction of popularity. Daft Punk is probably going to end up being the second most popular video released this week. And the first most popular video released this week will be Major Ali, Lolly, featuring Justin Bieber and Juicy J, directed by Matt Alonso. And I think there's some things to discuss with this video. What do you guys say?
I agree. Do you agree, Adam?
Yes, lots to talk about.
Yeah, totally. What should we start with? Should we start with Justin Bieber rapping?
Sure.
I think we should start with that. What do you guys think of his flow?
No, hold on. I just want to interject here and say that I watched a lot of music videos this week, and I'm ashamed to admit I didn't see this video. So prep me.
I'd say throw it on play as we're prepping you. It's because it's important, the stuff that's going on in this video. So it is. It's called Lolly, and they talk about lollipops the whole time. And I could be wrong, but I think they're talking about penises. I think I think that's what it means. I think that's what they mean. Because I don't think that these guys really have candy that they're giving to the ladies, to the fly honeys. I think they're giving them – I think that that's what they mean. Because Justin Bieber keeps pointing downward, and Juicy J kind of spoiled – It's all very like coy throughout the song. It's like, hey, you love my lolly, here it is. That's not how it goes, but that's the sentence. That's essentially that's the gist of the song. But then Juicy J's like, spread your butt, and so he kind of stops. It stops being coy. But the video itself is definitely like the perfect video for this song. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you're gonna have a song that's like full of references like this and have like a very heavy narrative video. So it's just like a very like high energy flashy video. There's a lot of dancing and stuff, but like Justin Bieber is like giving you the full, like, you know, I'm in a hip hop video performance. You know, he's like got the rap hands going and he's being
just slaying the ladies there, I think, for sure. Yeah, with that one.
No,
just dropping them.
Yeah, he's making it happen. He is. Yeah, like I said, Juicy J is a lot less coy, and Major Ali, like, actually. So when I first, like, I didn't hear the song before seeing the video. So when I heard the singing at first, I thought that was Justin Bieber. And then it turns out to be Major, which is cool, but they have a similar tone to their voice. But yeah. Here's one thing I want to say to you guys. And ASAP Fairholme, you might not be able to comment on this because you haven't really watched the video unless you've been watching along this whole time. But
yeah,
like,
I have.
Okay, so... Justin Bieber is also, like, he was a child star first, like Miley Cyrus. And, you know, Justin Bieber is being just as sexually explicit, if not more so, than Miley Cyrus has been of late. And, like, there hasn't – Mika Brzezinski has yet to comment on Justin Bieber's actions in this video. And it's nowhere near as popular. And a lot of the reason why that Miley video was popular is because of her, like, the controversy that's surrounding her. Like, why do you think, like, Justin's not getting any controversy right now? Is there, like, think there's a reason for that?
It's a good point.
It is a good point. Are you baiting us for a...
I'm not going to take that a step further and say it's like sexism or whatever. Like, that's definitely not what I'm saying. And I'm also not saying that what anybody's doing is wrong. I think Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber, like, if they want to break out of being a child star, like, this is one surefire way to do it. And it's like definitely been done time and time again in pop music, or at least attempted to, like, you know, it's essentially what, like, Justin Timberlake did, you know what I mean? He started working in, like, the hip hop world and, like, being a little bit more sexually explicit, and, you know, he was able to move from NSYNC into what he is now. And so, like, this is the route out. And so I don't think that Miley deserves any of the punch that she's getting right now. And so, and I think she should be treated like Justin here and, like, allowed to be an adult. But it's tough to not notice that he's not getting any hate for this, because they definitely have the same fan bases, right? Or at least the same age group for fan bases. They're both appealing to, like, 15-year-olds or under, right?
But yeah, but I think a part of that is Miley's association with, you know, the most powerful children's brand on earth, which is Disney.
Disney. I mean that.
But don't forget, Britney Spears and Timberlake both started with Disney as well. So
that's true. Mickey Mouse Club. Yeah.
It's a good point. I didn't want to, like, you know, this is usually a lot of fun and something. And like I said, I really. I think that the video is good. I'm not saying anything negative about the video. I just, it's something that you can't like not realize. And so,
yeah, but, and one of the other things is that Justin Bieber is doing it within in a, like, when Miley Cyrus is on stage with Robin Thicke, and when she's on the Wrecking Ball, she's never with, like, a group of ladies who are sort of, like, older than her, who are kind of guiding her through this, or mm-hmm. kind of, like, you know, showing her here's the way you go, like, it's okay, Miley Cyrus is doing this. She's always kind of alone in some, like, in Terry Richardson's, you know, concrete box or whatever, you know, riding around in a wrecking ball. You're kind of, she's always like the lone wolf out there. Justin sure. Bieber, even when he was doing, like, Baby, he always had, like, Ludacris next to him. Or in this video, he's got, you know, no end of guys who are also pointing to their crotches and saying, hey, my penis is a lollipop. you know, there's a little bit more of a guidance thing. That definitely has, like, a track record. I mean, Usher was the first guy to discover Bieber, wasn't it? He's always, like, had, yeah. like, a context.
Yeah, definitely. It's just interesting because if you're upset, though, about, like, the like, if you're upset about how their fan bases are going to perceive their performances, Bieber and Miley have essentially the same fan bases. Like, it doesn't differ too much. It's all, like, young pop fans. But yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And like I said, Juicy J's verse, like, is, it's got no double entendres. It's just, like, talking about having sex. And so, you know, it's, he's definitely, like, the tamer of it. And yeah, it's a bunch of it going around. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense for sure. And so yeah, there could be a lot of reasons. I was just kind of noticing it and bringing it up because that's what I do. So let's move on because that was fun.
I just want to also mention that there's a long proud tradition in hip hop of equating male genitalia with candy, such as Candy sure. Shop by 50 Cent. And of course, the classic in this genre, Lollipop by Lil Wayne. And sure. I think there's many, many other things. These are just ones that pop to mind.
No, definitely. And it's a longstanding tradition, and I don't think the end is in sight for it, for sure. But I think Justin Bieber as a rapper now, do you think he wrote his lyrics?
Yeah, actually, probably. I heard of him freestyle one time on a YouTube video, and there were similar lyrics to that, but I think it might be him.
Yeah, it's possible. It's definitely possible. It's definitely, like, having someone write your pop song is a lot more, like, understandable than someone writing your rap lyrics. But yeah, it's possible, definitely. But he does it. He's pulling it off. I mean, he is covered in tattoos, and, like, and wears clothes that I couldn't wear. So based on those two things, like, he is got some authentic hip hop characteristics. But it's hard to not see. But the fact that Ludacris was on Baby Adam, that's a really good point. Or ASAP Fairholme.
That's never gonna get old.
No.
And Bieber has an unfortunate facial expression in the thumb that was chosen for this video.
He does. That is an interesting choice. So, but and we can't. And it's not like we could pretend that Bieber doesn't get any flack, because Bieber has gotten, you know, at times Britney Spears, you know, level scrutiny for his behavior and stuff. And it's not like he hasn't been, you know, on TMZ with like with an angry cameraman. And so, but like in this particular case, just to bring it back. So let's move on. Let's stick with the most popular videos of the week. Did you guys watch the You Make Me video?
I did.
Avicii?
Is that how you say it? Avicii?
I don't know.
Avicii. It is Avicii.
Okay, cool. And yeah, we have a director listed, Sebastian Ringler, who was credited on Vivo, but we can't really... I don't stand too firmly behind this director listing that we have on the site.
Maybe we should explain to people just a little bit about the Vivo thing.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. We should.
Because Vivo, if you click the little I button, info button on Vivo, it will tell you some random lies. Information. It'll tell you, it'll lie to you. It'll just get a random person out of the database.
So to my understanding, Vivo has like really nothing to do with that information that you see there. I believe it's up to the labels to fill that stuff out. And the labels are kind of just given fields when they you know, upload their videos to Vivo of you know, like they fill that in. They're responsible to fill in those fields. And then Vivo will just run what they put. That's how I understand that works. I could be mistaken, but I've
yeah, and in the past we've sort of, it's the information has sometimes been inaccurate to the point of where we've tweeted something and a director has told us that's not,
you know, I didn't do that.
And so we've always had the policy of getting a second verification with Vivo director credits. But, you know, sometimes it's literally the only source we have to go off of. And you know, I think this is one of those cases. But I think that, you know, Vivo, I think, is maybe got to pay a little bit more attention to this. Because have you guys checked out Vivo's, like, channel? Or it's, like, 24-hour music a day music videos?
Yeah, I have. It's cool.
Yeah, and they do, like, in the lower third, in the Chiron, they do put the director.
Yeah, but it could be inaccurate, too. Like, I remember one time, it is. So there you go.
They sometimes have the wrong, like, even song title and artist come up.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah. So that could just be also like it's a new kind of network, and so that can be just like the kinks of them getting into a new field. Like, there's more chances for that information to be wrong because now it's like got to go through different hands and stuff. But like, I know for a fact that like other television stations, 106 and Park and other television stations, broadcast stations that play music videos will frequently get that information wrong as well. So, everyone doesn't know anything. but what'd you guys think of the video? I thought it was a fun video, which is why I was so upset that I couldn't verify the director, because I really enjoyed this video. It definitely has like a Scott Pilgrim versus the World feel to it, the movie version. You know, a lot of the effects are similar and that kind of thing. What'd you guys think of the video?
Yeah, it was decent. I didn't love it. I got the Scott Pilgrim feel too from it. It was pretty fun. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It reminded me a little bit of the Capital Cities video from last week. I can't remember the name.
Oh, really? Did I like the Capital Cities video better, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't have that, I mean, it's essentially, I mean, it does have that, I definitely got the Scott Pilgrim vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't too much to keep me in it. I thought the lead woman was fantastic. I think she was kind of the highlight of the video for me.
Yeah,
just the, you know, she kind of, you know, she just has a good screen presence or whatever. But yeah, one thing I don't get is, have you guys ever partied until it's like daytime? That always, when I see that in videos and movies,
yeah,
it really, made really like uncomfortable. Like, oh my god, you guys should go to bed.
I was way more uncomfortable by the lead guy's lip licking, like. He was a little too sensual for me. Like, I felt like I was being hit on throughout that whole video too, and like I wasn't feeling his vibe. So I really like that. I was more distracted by that. I partied to the daytime. Sometimes I'm like, you know, some nights I'll have like a couple of Long Island iced teas and just go keep on going.
Wait, so. Adam, you partied to the daylight?
Sure. Huh. Recently, yeah, it happens.
See, A$AP Fairholme is married, and so he...
Yeah.
A$AP Fairholme's wife goes to bed at 9 o'clock on a Friday.
Adam has coded till the daylight before, though, so that's cool. So did anyone watch this number 4 ranked Spanish language video that I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying to say?
No.
No.
So, J. Cole, Crooked Smile... 5th on the list is what'd you guys this is a very heavy-handed video for a song
very about heavy-handed
yeah. For a song that's about teeth especially I can't say I disagree with what this video, the point behind this video, but it seems oddly placed to me. What about you, A$AP?
No, I'd like to hear your thoughts on it first.
Okay, that's good. What about you, Adam? You agree with me? You think it was a little bit too heavy-handed for this song?
Yeah, like you said, I probably stand behind the big picture, the message behind the video, but like you said, a little bit heavy-handed and maybe not a perfect fit for the song either. Yeah, it's good, though. It's a great video, but yeah.
Right, yeah, it just seems a little oddly placed, and this is directed by Sheldon Candace. It's kind of like a short film, and he bills it as one at the beginning. It says a film by Sheldon Candace at the beginning, and I don't think it's bad. I think the performances are pretty good. They really try to make it a film feel. They even like lower the audio of the song to play just like. Not even like important dialogue and stuff. They like lower the audio of the song to like hear fire crackling and like them just like pouring things. And they definitely like really like it's a film feel. But like I feel like the song is like a really personal song about J. Cole and like his appearance and his song, like him in the rap game, and like to have this heavy-handed video. And we haven't really touched on it. The concept behind the video is like him. The overall concept is him like saying don't like rethink your war on drugs, and the way he does it is he like plays this drug dealer in a video who's kind of like also a family man, and some bad things happen to him. I won't give too much of the video away. Some bad things happen to him when he is when they attempt to arrest him, and so it was too heavy headed I thought for the song, but not a bad video after that.
The song's a bit, maybe I'm wrong, I'd probably have to listen to it again, but I felt like the song was a little bit upbeat, and that's not the overall tone of the video by the end. Maybe that's why it didn't work for me.
Right, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, the song Crooked Smile, I mean, the chorus and kind of like the overall thing, J. Cole has got a crooked smile, and he kind of talks about his kind of appearance. It's a little lighthearted and self-deprecating a little bit, but it's also got some like... braggy hip-hop elements as well, and he's like, I got all this money, I should fix this smile now, like that's not the song. I would have like I feel like even if it would have been a video like in the style of Lolly, that's just kind of like, well, maybe not so high energy, but just kind of more of a performance based thing, or maybe just him kind of like mac into a girl. I can't really like tell them what they should have done for their video, but actually I think that's this, bad.
Yeah. There's a thing, I think, a line that songs cross where I don't think they're like it's appropriate for a narrative anymore. Like, you could have a really awesome 5-minute narrative video, but there has to be some sort of connection or exchange of ideas between the song and the video, and not anything literal. But if there's too much of a disconnect, because this is obviously a really well paced, really well shot, really well conceived. Short narrative, and I think it's just a little bit of like I wrote a music video relapse today about Congratulations by MGMT from 2010, and directed by Tom Kuntz, which is a video that has a little bit of is a narrative video essentially, but it's one that's paced and sort of the visuals they really kind of connect with the song in a way. And if there's not that connection, I don't think you could, why not just watch it on mute, you know? Right. The same thing with like the Mumford & Sons video, like with Idris Elba from earlier this year, you know, that was a great connection between the visuals and the music. And it's not something you can explain or anything. It just sort of works or it doesn't.
But it's another great example, and this is a little bit further down on the list, but the MGMT Cool Song Number 2 video that came out this week, that's a really dark, kind of heavy narrative video, and it's a really dark, kind of heavy song, and there's really a connection there. I mean, I don't know even what the lyrics are about. I haven't, like, listened to them closely enough because I kind of only heard it while watching the video, and I've still been kind of so captivated by what I've been watching. But the feeling of the song, it sounds like it could be, like, a piece of a film, and this is the soundtrack that they would have chose to, like, put over top of it. It just... Yeah. It helps carry that narrative instead of kind of like running alongside of it.
I forgot about that one. That's a great one. And the casting was awesome too. Like the perfect fit.
Yeah, totally.
Michael Kenneth Williams from Boardwalk Empire and The Wire. So yeah, that was good. I liked it.
Yeah. Right. And like for a guy, like for like such, it's such an interesting thing, like for a character like that, like such a badass character to also be like, having like these like homosexual kind of like images that kind of show up in this video as well, and like the actor is like willing to go there. I don't think you're gonna get like your regular music video actors. It's like, all right, now you guys hop in that tub together, and you're gonna rub water all over his wounds. Like, I think it takes kind of a professional actor to really like come with that chemistry that those two guys have.
Yeah. Which was essentially his character on The Wire too. So it was like the tough gangster type, but he was also homosexual, and now that's why I thought he was a perfect fit for that video. Really well casted.
Yeah, totally.
And you know the director Isaiah Surratt. Oh my God, it's probably Isaiah Surratt, and I've made a terrible pronunciation mistake.
No, it's not. You're good.
Okay. He, you know, some of his other videos include, you know, like Happy Pills from Norah Jones and Good Man by Raphael Sadiq. He just knows how to bring that kind of dark, surreal element to things that just suits the song so well. I don't know if you guys have been listening to MGMT's album that came out on Tuesday. But, you know, Tom, they have a really good eye. You know, I think they're one of the best bands out there for taking a song they know they're going to make a music video for and really finding the right director who has the right kind of feel for it, like the Your Life is a Lie from the first single, which Tom Kunst did the video for. You know, perfect, you know, marriage there. Even, you know, in the what is their first album, Doug? Help me out here.
Spectacular,
right, where they worked a lot with Ray Tintori to make those fantastic videos for, you know, Electric Feel and Time to Pretend and Kids. You know, they just know how to, and I think that's something that I think in a way should be left or put to the artist in a way.
I would say that I know that they were like, I know that they and the commissioner Brian Jones have like a really good relationship, and they kind of seem to see eye to eye. And I don't think it's a surprise because they, you know, they seem to really care about the videos, and it seemed like they really seem to click with the commissioner over there as well. And I think that is got to be a huge benefit for it too. But like they definitely seem to care. I mean, you're not going to have a band like who. Like, they seem to really be the type of band who's going to make their own decisions, you know? And so I think that's really important. But I do know that they have a real close relationship with the commissioners over there.
That's true. Yeah, I was discounting the role of the others in the process, especially Brian Jantz, the video commissioner that they've worked frequently with.
So we can move back a little back up the list. I definitely want to talk about the Solange Lovers in the Parking Lot video that came out this week, directed by Solange, co-directed by Solange, Peter J. Bryant, and Emily Kaibach. And I feel like this video has some similar, like this is got some similar pieces of the Losing You video, Solange's last video. It's definitely her center doing cool dances in like a more dilapidated environment than someone whose sister is Beyonce would think would be in their music videos. But I think, you know, with similar effect as well. I think she, you know, it causes her to kind of stand out in those elements, but also she kind of oddly fits in. I don't know if that makes sense, but But this is another one that I was also a fan of. How about, what did you guys think? You have any thoughts?
I loved it. It was one of my favorite videos this week. And I loved Losing You Too. All of her new music is just incredible. I just like it for its simplicity. Sometimes I find a lot of bands and directors will try to go for a big narrative or a big gimmick or something to that extent. But I like sometimes when a video just takes it back and does something real simple and like it's just about the colors and there's no narrative. It's just dancing. I like that. I thought it was a great video.
Yeah, I think it definitely, Doug, you're right. It shares, and Adam, you're right. It's shares a lot with her previous video, which was
Losing You.
Right. And that video, to an extent, was about her environment. I mean, it was shot in, I believe it was some sort of Caribbean island. There have been a few videos shot in the Bahamas and Jamaica lately, so I'm getting a little mixed up. But this video, I think, is just the environment, which is sort of these kind of forgotten suburban or you know kind of semi-urban landscapes is so important to kind of framing her and framing, you know, not just her as a person, but you know her style, and you know, and I think that's how in a way she separates herself from her sister Beyonce, because I think that that's one element that is not, it's not in your face in the way that, you know, a Miley Cyrus video is kind of separating herself from her past images. But it's got to be something that's crossing the minds of the people making these videos, is that she has a sister who is, you know, one of the biggest superstars in the world for doing exactly what Solange is doing, singing. And, you know, it's definitely far away from, you know, any sort of Beyonce image. And it's something that's definitely uniquely her, from the way she interacts and the way she's presented and the way she's contextualized by these interesting places where they put it. So I thought this is a fantastic video. Solange is one of those people that, you know, you don't really ever get tired of watching somehow. And mm-hmm. Doug, you know, we interviewed Emily Kai Bach more than a year ago, right after her Grimes Oblivion video, and we've been huge fans of everything she's awesome. Doing. You can definitely see her hands on this.
Sure. And that was Cape Town, South Africa, where Losing You was shot. Cape Town, South Africa. Mm. So I think we should roll on down the list of the most popular videos from this week. And this is what I'm always a favorite, Riff Raff with Dolce & Gabbana. Yeah. Riff Raff dropped two videos on us this week, with Dolce & Gabbana and also Jody Highroller. Dolce & Gabbana was more popular and probably my favorite of the two videos. You guys shared that opinion?
Yeah, for sure. I'm not really into the attempt at singing via autotune.
It's the worst song.
Yeah, so bad. No, definitely the Dolce & Gabbana is a little better.
Now, I think it's important for me as definitely a giant Riff Raff fan and fan of everything he does. I'm gonna say that there's a deeper point in that fact that he's doing a horrible sounding autotune. But let's not crack the shell of
Riff Raff. Wait, hold on. I want to hear you defend a deeper point in doing an autotune and Riff Raff's work. Like, he's making a statement for the whole world.
Yeah, well, that's Riff Raff as an entity, as a being, is making a broader statement than just the surface of Riff Raff, right?
Are you sure?
Of course. Of course. Come on. Yeah, definitely. Like, Riff Raff on the surface is one thing, but what I think is beneath the surface, the ridiculous like excess and ridiculousness is like a broader statement about excess and ridiculousness. And so
it's a
yeah,
very
definitely.
Charitable statement.
Nah, I don't think so, man. I don't think so, because plenty of people have been dummies with ice and not everyone has been Riff Raff. So I'm maintaining that opinion until he, you know, I see SAT scores.
It's something I've thought about. I've wondered, is there some madness behind that, the whole thing? Like, Diantwoord is another group that's kind of like that, where you wonder, like, and it's hip hop through excess, but really there's, with them especially, there's something bigger going on. You can tell that they're quite smart and what they're doing is brilliant. So
yeah,
maybe that's him too. It's harder to tell.
I think Riff Raff is the same thing. Is the U.S. version of Die N-Word. And because with them, you can go back and see previous work where they're just being kind of like doing comedy videos and stuff. There was a for Die N-Word. There's a music influence to their eyes earlier stuff. But if you look up like Constructus Corporation and some of their other kind of previous before Die N-Word work, you can definitely tell that they're just being jokesters and pranking everyone. I think Riff Raff is the same thing. And the reason is because he was on that MTV show, and you know, just like anybody who's on an MTV reality show is a character. Like Riff Raff is a character. Like, yeah, those tattoos are real. He's really got long hair and he braids it and he's really doing drugs. But I think he's also, you know, pulling one over on a lot of people. Sounds like ASAP Fairholme's being pulled one over on. So,
well, I just think they should probably show his vines in drug education classes.
on how to properly deal with, because probably the amount of drugs that he puts inside of his body is probably just through the roof. And so the fact that he continues to be a functioning adult, I think is a statement to his tolerance and his commitment to the part. And that's what I'm going to say. Let's move from the
no you're acting like we're under someone's got a gun to our head saying move on to the next video. We can
It's not the next video. That's just
got a gun to our heads, maybe.
There's a lot of stuff to talk about. That was just the popular stuff. We still have lots of best new videos of the week to talk about, and then some general new releases that we should discuss. Well,
can I just get a word in with Riff Raff? I don't believe that Riff Raff is like the same way that the Truman Show can't be true. I understand even Die N-Word. I feel like at a certain point, you can play a part so much that you become the part, and there's no separating it, and you become kind of a anyway, because there's no if you can't like. Cut this part out. I don't even want to talk about it.
Well, he's doing like. So Dirt Nasty is Simon Rex, and that you know is a character, right? Because he does them both. He does Simon Rex and he does Dirt Nasty, and they're different personas. And I think Riff Raff's got a different persona. He doesn't let it out publicly at all. And maybe it's taken over so much that is what he is now. But I think that the original intent, that there was a deeper meaning besides just codeine and ice, like I think there's more to it, more substance.
He could also be playing the kind of the humorous, the humor part or the joke rap part of it, as because it's a kind of an entry point for a lot of hip-hop artists like Eminem and even Krispy Kreme, whose craft seems to be improving with time. It's an easy way to make it into to the hip-hop scene. I think maybe he's gonna one day unleash just this amazing hip hop artist, and you never know.
You mean Froggy Fresh?
Froggy Fresh, that's right.
I've heard that Riff Raff puts on a decent show. I think it's a stretch to start comparing him to Eminem. I mean, Eminem has definitely been funny and tongue in cheek, but like, I mean, sometimes Riff Raff is tough to listen to, and Eminem is talented beyond.
Froggy Fresh is always enjoyable to listen to,
but he is Froggy Fresh is great. He's definitely more of a jokester. But yeah,
are you so sure I think about that though?
yeah, man, because it's too creative. It's too creative. There's creativity in it. It's absurd. Yeah. Just like with Riff Raff, it's incredibly creative. Versace, whatever, like just I don't know, but like but Krispy Kreme too. It just crazy, crazy creative, and it's like hidden. No, it is. It's he knows.
Froggy
he knows
Fresh. It. He's slowly improving. I've been watching the videos since day one. There's actually some songs on YouTube that you can find as his real name, which I can't remember right now. But it's him like rapping like legitimate like you know, cool sounding tracks, and he can rap. Like he's good. So the whole Krispy Kreme, Froggy Fresh I'm pretty sure that was his entry point. He's going to blow up someday.
Yeah.
I'm calling it.
I believe it.
When he does, I'm gonna remember you calling it, Adam, because I would love that. There's definitely the funny thing, right? Part about it, but like even like the I'm Froggy Fresh song, I think that's what it's called. It's kind of his title track. You know the video, they're in like a cult, him and Moneymaker Mike are in a cult, like a abandoned house, and it's like the dead of winter. That one, even that, you can definitely tell he has like he has a lot of talent.
Yeah, and he's got one of his songs is in a Vivo video, and like yeah, like he could blow up commercially too, but like I mean he's gone viral, you know, 20 times, 30 times over, you know what I mean? Like the Krispy Kreme the Baddest, which is the one that I was the first one I saw. That's knocking on 5 million views, and that's just him and Moneymaker Mike in his living room or whatever with that stupid shirt. Like
Moneymaker Mike.
He's blown up as far as I'm concerned.
The Christmas one, oh my god, I can't. That's my favorite Christmas song of all time.
So I want to
super hot Jones seat at the lunchbox.
I think it's too creative for it to not be a joke. So did you what were your favorite videos this week at ASAP? What was your favorite of the week? Do you have a favorite? I think this should be a segment that we do.
A favorite? I do have a favorite of the week. And let me pull it up here. And my favorite of the week was, as longtime listeners may know, I'm a sucker for funny videos. And I got, I loved Pyramid Scheme by Matt Zo, directed by Morgan Wise. And this is the video where, I've actually seen this only in person once. It's usually elderly Asian ladies, but I was in San Francisco one morning and saw this in a park where they do like Tigus's Tai Chi or whatever.
Yeah.
And I can't, this is one of the things that maybe somebody's done it before, but it's like one of the things that I just thought, oh my God, this is such a great concept. Like, I can't believe this hasn't been done a million times. It's, the guy who's leading it gets there. He's got a boombox and he plays music and the song, you know, Pyramid Scheme by Matt Zo plays as they kind of do their Tai Chi, but it's just got that's a funny concept in itself, but it's got all these really fun moments. There's my favorite shot is where he's like, you know, in a, he's sitting down, he's like floating through, you know, past the line of these people doing, you know, these Tai Chi dances to this song. And then there's drag, you know, the dragons, the Chinese dragons involved and all that kind of stuff. So this one was it's a compact video at 3 minutes and 30 seconds, and it was an enjoyable one from beginning to end. I usually am relieved when music videos are over, but for this one, I wanted it to be at least like another minute.
So yeah, you glossed over it. He's magic. He becomes magic. He floats through the air. Magic,
yeah, yeah.
Floats through the air. So, and what about you, Adam Alexander? What was you? Do you have a favorite video of the week?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, the one that I like the most, it's one that I actually just added to the database. It was out earlier this week, but it was an exclusive, so you couldn't pull it up on YouTube, so I wasn't able to submit it. But it's by an artist called Clarence Clarity. I don't know a whole lot about him other than his previous song was The Gospel Truth, which was also really cool. This new one is called Alive in the Septic Tank. And it's a really weird, kind of a freaky, almost like an Italian horror movie from the 70s, just the stock that's used and stuff. And there's all this crazy stuff happening. And the song is just amazing, too. So that would be my favorite. Definitely that Clarence Clarity new video there.
Well, that was. Go ahead.
Oh, that's. I'm done.
That's it. So that that's one I haven't watched yet. And ASAP, I'm sure you didn't either. So that's that you live up to the fringe by bringing that one out and making Adam and I tongue tied.
Right. Wait, is it on the database, in the database yet?
Yeah. Yeah. I just submitted it right before we went live.
Why can't I find it? Is it?
You should refresh cache.
Let me see here.
Clarence Clarity. Oh, you know what? Yes. Stupid cache.
It's okay.
I hate caching. That's nobody actually on my list for tomorrow to fix.
Cool. Cool.
And directed by Craig Murray, who I'm not familiar with, but I hope to see more. It's an awesome video.
Does he have anything else in the database?
There is one that I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, this looks really neat. Craig Murray. Emperor from Ellie Love from 2013. I've not seen that either, but it looks
good. The thumbnail's awesome. It's probably good.
Looks spooky. I'm getting spooked.
Actually, the septic tank is spooky too, so be prepared for that.
Nice.
Septic tanks. There's something about a septic tank of being not connected to a septic grid that freaks me out a little bit.
Right. Like, what's it doing there?
Yeah.
What purpose is it serving?
I feel like a little disconnected. But yeah, oh man, this looks like a great video. And it's definitely, where did it premiere?
I think it was Noisy UK that premiered that one.
So I'd like to say, what's that?
He might be a British artist. I don't know a whole lot about him, but his other one's great too, so make sure you check that one out.
I would like to put out a call to anybody listening who makes these decisions. Put the video on YouTube and with Vimeo first day.
Day one.
For the love of God. You miss out the views. Nobody, you know, yeah, everybody has to go to NPR to see on their you know, crappy player. And NPR gets the whatever ad revenue or whatever. But I just don't think it's worth it. I'm tired of the premieres.
Rolling Stones, cut it out.
Yeah, the Rolling Stones are really bad. I don't mind the NPRs as much, but...
Cut it out, Rolling Stone. Cut it out, Nowness. I mean, we like what you do. We like music videos, but come on. Be real. Be real. So I have a favorite of the week. Can I say it?
No, I think that's all we have for this week.
Wrap it.
That's it.
Yeah, Doug, we want to hear what ASAP Klinger.
Me asking you guys wasn't just a way for me to be able to tell mine.
Wait, hold on a second. Just before you say anything, I just got a great idea and I don't want to lose it. If everybody in ASAP's gang has ASAP before their name, why don't we just use another acronym that's used in office emails? We could be the FYI gang.
Okay. Like
FYI Fairholme.
Or like the ICYMI.
Or just sure, why not?
How about NSFW?
Ooh, nice.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I like it. Although I think they're using their first names, which that wouldn't really solve our problem.
Ferg is his first name?
I mean, they're not real names. Come on. Rocky, these are rappers. In case anyone was wondering, ASAP in their crew stands for Always Strive and Prosper. So it doesn't mean as soon as possible, in case that's what you thought. Always Strive and Prosper. So that's an uplifting acronym.
I'm going to write that on my wall.
It's better than Cash Money.
So Doug, what was your...
My favorite video of the week was by... band called Static Jax, and the video is Wallflowers. This is directed by Zach Stoltz. This video. It's a bunch of, I think it's the band. I'm pretty sure it's the band, but it's a bunch of boys. It's a bunch of boys who collect a bunch of nostalgic toys like Furbies and board games. And
shit, sorry.
Ruining my pick. A bunch of board games and stuff, and they assemble them. And they create a lady out of them. It's got like a very weird science vibe out of it. And they're running around partying with these ladies. These are kind of dorky looking guys who have like made a sexy lady out of their toys. And as they party and stuff, they encounter a group of equally nerdy girls who clearly have a robot that they had made. And as the video progresses, the two robots fall for each other. And the nerds kind of try to separate them, keep them apart. And then, obviously, they're able to unite at the end. But it's a super cool video. I like it a lot. A lot of fun. And it's a good combination of, like, it's a really good kind of interesting story that's, like, funny. And the effects are good as well, which is typical of Zach Stoltz. He helps with VFX a lot on a lot of other music videos. This is one of the first videos that he's directed himself. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Did you guys watch this one?
Oh yeah, I did. Okay. So yeah. I have two comments on it. Okay. Number one is that the band in this video, and let me actually, you know what? I'm gonna do it right now. I'm gonna type in Static Jax,
and make sure that that's them.
Well, that definitely is them.
Okay,
good. But I'm just looking at how old these guys are. Okay, so they were freshmen in high school, in 2007. So they're 4 years. So they were born roughly 90, 91. This is, I'm all forced.
Oh, freshman in high school in 2007. That's later then. They're 8 years younger than us.
That can't be right then.
They're 8 years younger than us. We graduated high school in 2003. So that's 4 years plus 4 years.
Okay, so let's say...
These guys are young.
Yeah, these are young guys. Weird Science came out in 1985. So one of my pet, I hate using the term pet peeves, but one of my pet peeve subjects is misplaced nostalgia, especially for misremembered nostalgia for people who are too young to remember the nostalgia. So, depending on how old Static Jax is, Weird Science came out in 1985, which is either, 5 to 8 years or more before they were even born. So, there's a huge wave of like 80s and 90s nostalgia coming. And I think some of the best 80s and 90s nostalgia is coming from people who like actually remember it, like the Starcadian stuff and all that. But they actually do this really well. I think the twist on the Weird Science, I'm only ribbing them for a good-natured ribbing for them, definitely not being alive. I wasn't alive when Weird Science came out. I was born the year Weird Science came out. So I leave that out of the purview of what I'm nostalgic about. But a lot of the stuff is definitely like up our alley. I don't know when you were born, Adam, but like the Nintendo, the second, whatever, the Super Nintendo, a lot of the other stuff they throw in that is definitely like up my alley in terms of, or our alley in terms of nostalgia.
It's interesting that you're an ageist in this case. You're prejudiced against their ages. I think pop culture can be relevant to people beyond the first generation that experienced that pop culture. I think it can live on beyond that initial shelf life. I definitely like. I think what's being done, well, not necessarily, because you know what, the people behind this video were probably alive. I would say.
Yeah, actually, it's a good point. Okay.
So and
really the 90s were pretty sad though. So of course they got to kind of dip back into the 80s a little bit for some cool stuff.
Right. Or at least otherwise you're just recreating like Britney Spears videos in the 2000s. But I do think that they. So the narrative pulls from the 80s as far as like Weird Science, but it's. But the other things, it's not like they're taking 80s stuff and making this babe out of. They're taking stuff from when these guys were kids, Furbies and like video games and stuff like that. It's definitely from their era. So I think it's a good combination. I mean, it was my favorite video of the week. So fucking asshole.
Whoa! It's a great video. I thought it was a great video. I just wanted to because I think we're in an important era. Well, first of all, we're in 2013, and typically the third year after a decade change is an important one for deciding what the previous decade is about culturally. So right now we're in the process of figuring out what the 2000s are, what that means to us in terms of putting it in context of a decade, like the 90s, 80s, 70s, so on. So I think stuff like this that comes out and... is very clearly making a callback to a previous generation or recalling a nostalgia. I think it's interesting to look at what they're pulling at, whether it be Weird Science or Furbies. Furbies are like late 90s. That's like 97. Yeah. So there's a huge gap between the source material that they're talking about, especially like Super Nintendo. That's like 92. And there's a big difference between like early 90s and late 90s. So I'm not trying to say in any way this isn't a great video. I loved this video. I thought it was really entertaining. I thought it was really unique. But I'm interested in, and I think it's important, especially with music videos, what we're looking at nostalgia-wise. I mean, look at the cover for Bangers, Miley Cyrus. That is a callback to late 80s Miami Vice. The cover for Roar, for the single, which has nothing to do with the music video whatsoever, but that was also a callback to like late 80s, early 90s kind of album cover styles for women. So we're definitely in the process of figuring out what the 2000s, the 90s, and the 80s like mean to us now.
That's definitely a lot more deep than I got with this video. But no, I think it's an interesting perspective on things, and I do think that it's important to kind of be conscious of that stuff and to be aware of what's, like you said, what's being pulled at and what's being, you know, reappropriated and brought back up. But like, I think that the audience of Static Jax probably primarily is not familiar with Weird Science, and just because we watch it and we say, oh, this is Weird Science, like, it's not two guys, it's the whole band, it's not like Weird Science is just Frankenstein or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, it's not necessarily, I mean, it's pretty clearly Weird Science, so. But, like, just because they don't need to get that reference for this to still be a good video, though, like, just because Weird Science to us, you know what I mean? But,
interesting difference between Weird Science and this video is that if you go back and watch Weird Science, the woman that they create, to me, she looks like 45. She's old. I don't want to say she's old, but she's got decades on the woman that they create and the guy that they create in the music video.
Right. In this video, they essentially create someone their age.
Right.
In Science, they create a lady.
And it's also sort of...
Lady.
Oh, yeah. It's also sort of funny that these like teenage boys create a lady, and then like they go out on a paddle boat. I think let's be honest here. If we with a group of like middle school, high school friends made a lady, we're not like let's go to play the bowling game at Chuck E. Cheese. There's some other stuff going on.
Right. I don't know what, but. I wasn't a Chuck E. Cheese guy either. No, I get it. It's a lighthearted video, and so
I know. But we're talking
just like fill her orifices. Like, there's a hole for me. Like, that's not. That wouldn't have been quite as fun of a video.
I'm sure there's probably an X-rated version of Weird Science that would be right up Ace up for Holmes Alley.
Yeah, you love it.
Note to self: next week, do not. Look so far into videos.
Okay. Right. Stop it. Because it's because I liked it a lot. We can move to another video now. I think
our times are almost up though.
It's getting there. We're getting close. So fuck it. So no other videos.
But what else you got? What else you got?
Well, I really like the Love Hour Zero by Demon Queen, directed by Thomas Mann. That's one more that I think is important to bring up. Featuring a disembodied boob breast. I won't say boob. I did a couple of times. That beaches itself on shore at a beach. The video uses some time lapse, some stop motion, definitely some boob prosthetic. Breast prosthetic, and then some crazy visual effects, which is, if you're at all familiar with Thomas McMahon's other music video work, you know that he's kind of a maestro when it comes to the post effects. And so this video is crazy, I think. Pretty crazy, right, guys?
I agree. I love where the video went. I didn't see that coming. It definitely builds. It's cool. Really cool near the end.
Yeah, I can't say I had any idea where this was going to go. So, like, wherever it went, I could tell you that I wasn't expecting it. And so, but where it does go is it's very crazy and it moves very realistically. It's weird to say.
I love the song, too. It's excellent.
Yeah, Demon Queen. It's a collaboration between Tobacco and someone else who I can't remember. ASAP, did you check this one out?
I did, and I also too am. I'm a fan of both Thomas McMahon and music videos that are just like blow the door off of being batshit insane. And from the minute the boob starts moving. Excuse me, the breast starts moving out of the ocean. You're just like, holy shit, what the hell is going to happen for the rest of this? And yeah, I think it's something you need to experience, so we shouldn't pull any spoilers, but I love this video. This is ridiculous.
Quite ridiculous. And I think that might be a good closing video, right? Hey, folks?
That would be a good closing video, yeah.
Sweet.
So there we go. Well, that is, excuse me. So there we go. That is our podcast for this. I mentioned it's important to mention what day it is, September 19th, 2013. And we're going to be doing these every single Thursday night. And what you can do if you want is go on imvdb.com/live and comment and, you know, say some things. We'll, you know, read comments on the live as it happens, and then the next morning, Friday morning, it gets the recorded version, gets pulled out. But so if you're not doing anything on Thursday night, which we obviously aren't, then come and join us.
Hop on
into the giant hot tub that is the Music Video Land IMVDB podcast. And I just want to mention, as far as, you know, social media, you know, facebook.com/IMVDB, and I'm very proud to say that after months of trying, I can say you should go follow us at twitter.com/IMVDB. Not the IMVDB.
Woo!
IMVDB.
Yeah, that's right.
That happened just today, just a few hours ago.
Twitter's our boy. Twitter's our boy. And if you're within the music video industry and you are also our boy or girl, and you are like, hey, I wish there was some tools for me, we got some in the works, and you can learn about those if you go to our Indiegogo campaign. If you go to imvdb.com/gogo, you can learn about what we got in store and how you can help us out. And we'd love for you to do it.
That's right. We're raising that money. We got all the details there. We're blogging over the next month about what we're doing. We're excited about that project. So there we go. So thank you, Adam, for joining us a second time.
Yeah, no problem.
And we'll see everybody next week. And I just want to let everybody know that at the end of every podcast, I'm putting a different awful cover of Blurred Lines. So here we go. Take us out. Awful cover version of Blurred Lines.
Everybody get up.
There we go. That was good, guys.
Yeah, that was sweet. There was was my audio breaking up a little bit at the end? Because mine was. Okay, so ASAP.
Trying to say, if you can't read from the same page,
maybe I'm going deaf, maybe I'm going blind, maybe I'm out of my mind. Okay, now she was close, tried to domesticate you, but you're an animal, baby, it's in your nature, just let me liberate you. You don't need no papers, that man is not your maker.